like a shark in a shrimp tank. Big fish, small pond in the shrimp tank. When it's sink or swim, only option is to win. In the murky water, not a thought of giving in. I've been feeling like a shark in a shrimp tank. Big fish, small pond in the shrimp tank. When it's sink or swim, only option is to win. In the murky water, not a thought of giving in. Welcome to the shrimp tank, word to Chris Hanks. Before to put it all together, this is big thanks. Doing big things, chasing big dreams. Yeah, it's all real, this life's all that it seems. All the chicks scream, all the dudes yell. This is just what I do and I do it well. With the flow fresher than the new shoe smell. Going through hell, well homie keep going. You know the saying, you gon' reap what you sow in. So I don't chase girls, I just chase dreams. Play the same game, but we ain't in the same league. Running a campaign, roadie 2016, like a phone to die, putting me in charge. I'm a general from the front, I'ma lead the charge. Like a federal, fell on my lap, never going hard as ever. The results match the effort.
Hey, everybody, good afternoon. Welcome to the Shrimp Tank. I'm your co-host, Ted Jenkins, sitting here with my co-host, Chris Hanks, coming to you every Tuesday from 4 p.m. to 5 p.m. live right here on Atlanta Business Radio X. If you've never heard the show before, you can always listen to a replay of all of our fabulous entrepreneurs on shrimptankpodcast.com. What do we do on this show? Well, guess what? We bring you some of the brightest, best entrepreneurs throughout the state of Georgia, especially here in Atlanta, and even more special, we're bringing on lots of kids that are starting businesses in and around the area of Atlanta and all across the state of Georgia. They're sharing ideas with us here on the Shrimp Tank, and we'll find out. We'll find out each week with my friend Chris Hanks whether those businesses will swim or they'll sink ultimately in the tank. So, Mr. Hanks, what's going on today?
You know, how could you not be pumped up after hearing that intro rap? So I am doing well. You know, that just pumps me up every time.
Pumped up. I get to hear your name in the middle of the rap.
You know, anytime my name is in a rap, how could you not have a great day? And I'm also having one of my favorite students in studio with me right now and a great guest. I mean, what could be better, Ted?
And who's in studio today?
So we have the wonderful Rusty Beringer.
Howdy.
Rusty, how did you get on the show today?
I was asked less than 2 hours ago if I would like to be on Radio X, and so I agreed heartily.
See, and he demonstrated the entrepreneurial spirit because we say yes to opportunity, right? When opportunity presents it, it's not who sees the opportunity, Rusty. It is who seizes the opportunity, and you have demonstrated that by seizing today's opportunity.
Yes, sir.
Now, for those of you that don't know, Chris has taken on an unbelievable role at Kennesaw State. He is the founder and executive director of the Center for Entrepreneurship at KSU. And if you think about this, a lot of people go to college and some people get an engineering degree. Some people get a degree in finance like me. Don't know why. And some people will ultimately end up a liberal arts degree, work at Starbucks. And so people that get degrees today don't always know why they're getting a degree. So I'm wondering, Chris, if you just tell people a little bit, and then I want to talk about what's happening in the KSU Top 100, about what this whole notion is of getting a degree in entrepreneurship today. How does it work, and how does somebody even get started in getting a degree in entrepreneurship?
Yeah, because it does seem a little bit of a strange thing. Like a degree in entrepreneurship sounds like an oxymoron, almost like a jumbo shrimp. For some folks. But the idea that, you know, we can teach certain things about entrepreneurship. For example, we can teach you a process for creating value. Those can be taught. But what's more important is the mindset that these students achieve once they come out of it. They're infused with a mindset that, hey, you know what? I can get paid as long as I create value for others. You know, and what studies have shown and what I'm really excited about is whether or not these students work for themselves or work for somebody else, if they have the mindset that, hey, I'm an entrepreneur regardless who employs me, they will be happier. I can statistically show that. They will have better relationships. I can statistically show that. And they will make more money than their peers within 5 years of graduation.
Oh, I fully believe it. You know, what people get trained today is the idea is you take a test, you take more tests, and then you learn more tests. And then when you get out of school, here's the real test. Your boss says, can you do your job? Well, where's the test? No, this is the test. You've got to actually start doing your job. And people don't realize that whether you actually become an entrepreneur or you work in a corporate environment, getting a degree in entrepreneurship is a really cool thing. Because if you want to succeed in a big company and move up on the ladder, you're going to have to be entrepreneurial. It's not like your boss is going to lead you to the water. You're going to have to figure your way sort of up that chain anyway.
Yeah. And it's the experiences that change us. It's not necessarily what we memorize. And so we have a very experiential curriculum. Like Rusty, how many tests did you take for the purposes of my class? Did you take a single test?
Not on paper.
Ooh, not on paper. So what?
That kind of sounded dark.
Yeah, that's it. Not on paper.
How do you take a test in this program?
Well, in order to earn our seats, we had to go through quite a few challenges.
Yes, we have experiential challenges, yes. Not memorization for tests, but we did test your character.
Yes.
We tested your willingness to get comfortable being uncomfortable.
You test your character door to door. All you need to do is go try and sell Christmas wrapping paper door to door. That'll test your character in a big hurry. Did you actually have to go sell door to door?
Not under his rule, no.
I'd like to teach that next semester. That would be a good thing.
It would be.
If you do that one neighborhood, trust me, you will gain some courage very, very quickly. Let me just do real quickly here. Can you update everyone what's going on in the KSU Top 100? I know that you started out with 100 kids and some fabulous ideas around entrepreneurship and building a business. What are you down to now?
We went, it was a very grueling process, but last Wednesday night, we went from our final 10 to our final 3. And that was really challenging, a lot more challenging than I thought, as evidenced by the event was supposed to end at 11:30, and I believe we walked out of there after 11 p.m.
Wow.
Because of the difficulty in choosing among those students. It was it's been a very rewarding event, and where essentially it's like The Voice meets Shark Tank. And so we have the element of The Voice where you're mentored by some of the best entrepreneurs in the Southeast. Actually, Ted served as a mentor and had a really great student.
That was a lot of fun.
Yeah, you're a great student. You didn't quite make the cut. Your student didn't quite make the cut, but it was very tough.
Did he cut his hair?
He didn't cut his hair, so he didn't take that advice.
I told him, I said, you can't win looking like Lyle Lovett. When you look like Lyle Lovett, you can't win a competition in entrepreneurship. They're going to look at you, and while you're making your pitch, they're going to be staring at your hair. So that's why he didn't win, or was it?
No, definitely was not that. Actually, his pitch was way better under your tutelage, and his business idea, great student, great concept. It was just really challenging to come up with our final three.
And who are the final three now?
So we have a final three. We have Garrett Jacobs, who is doing a business called Gavel, which is they were on the show with the auction. So that made the final three.
Very, very cool.
We also have a guy named Paul Nagel with Tree Cabin. Who has not been on the show yet. And then we have Danielle. We had her sister, Stephanie, on the show. But Daniela Carven. How did you pronounce that last name?
Carvanito.
Yeah, there you go.
It was something
yes,
like that.
Yes.
It sounded
so with
close,
her cookie business.
Close to that.
So those are our final three. And as of after April 27th, we'll know who the winner is.
That's very, very cool stuff. Well, it's all exciting stuff. And you're listening to The Shrimp Tank right here on Atlanta Business Radio X, coming to you live every Tuesday from 4 p.m. to 5 p.m. You can always hear a replay of all of our broadcasts on ShrimpTankPodcast.com. I recommend that you check them out because we've interviewed people in this city from the number one real estate agent in the country. In the country, not even in the state of Georgia, Duffy Realty, all the way to businesses like J.C. Ordonia with First Fence, and hearing many, many interesting business. Last week, we had on Jim Hall from Triotech, which I learned more about airflow than I probably wanted to know, but it was really amazing stuff to say, who starts a business in airflow? So we're really excited this week to have on our guest, Wes Jones, who's an alumnus of the University of Georgia, the Terry School of Business, and also the Graduate School of Business at Georgia State University. And in 2011, he co-founded a company called Honeysuckle Gelato. Now, if you don't get excited to eat gelato, just hearing Honeysuckle Gelato, Honeysuckle just sounds sexy to begin with. So it's pretty good stuff. And I looked at his website, which is just unbelievable, beautifully done website. And so, Wes, I just wanted to bring you on. And so, you know, you go to school, you go to grad school, and you start a business. And they say of all of the businesses, getting into the food business in general is one of the tougher businesses to get into. So what gave you the idea to leap into getting into the gelato business?
You know, it just kind of happened. So I have two business partners, but one of them is one of my best friends from growing up. We went to elementary, middle, and high school together, and then he went to Georgia for a while as well. So we've known each other a long time. He's been all over the world, and then in an effort to woo back his high school sweetheart, moved to New York about 8 years ago. It worked out. They are married with a young son now, but he called me about a week later. He had no professional idea in mind of what he wanted to do, called me and said, "Hey, I'm going to make gelato at this place on the Lower East Side." and my response was, "Well, that's great. You know, we're getting a little too old for this, but you know, I'm sure this will be a whole lot of fun." And I would visit a bunch and, you know, being from the South, there aren't too many gelato places, and loved it the first time I had it. And he would always come home and make stuff in his parents' kitchen. And at first it was a joke of like, hey, maybe we should do this. And then we kind of looked around and said, no more maybe, we should really do this. You know, there's nobody making craft gelato in the Southeast. We saw an opportunity to do something fun and different, and we just kind of dove straight into it without much experience at all, actually.
So that reminds me of sort of what we brought up right at the beginning of the show, you know, that saying that, you know, it's not who sees the opportunity, it's who seizes the opportunity. And so, you know, it's one thing to say, wow, there's no gelato places, or there's not a lot of it, there might be an opportunity here, but to make the decision to actually do it, what got you over the edge to actually decide to do something as opposed to just talk about doing stuff, something?
I think we've both always had the itch to do something, and Jackson's been a lot more entrepreneurial than I have in the past. He helped his brother start a few different businesses in China, and I think just having the confidence to see him do that in the past, and I'm good friends with his brother as well. So having the confidence to see people do that and succeed really helped me out. And I think I just couldn't scratch the itch. I it was just there. So we finally, after really talking about it it took a while, you know, it took about a year talking about it. And then, you know, we made the decision to quit our jobs way, way too early.
Pro forma said we'll make money in 4 months. Right.
Exactly. I don't know who wrote that, but he's an idiot. That was me. we saw something that we thought would be great.
You get into the food business, you know, there are obviously the swan stories that you see on TV of these companies on literally the Shark Tank that may go big time. How do you decide whether you get into this business from a wholesale perspective or you get into it from a retail perspective? Are you doing both? And how did you guys go down that decision path to say what's the best way to get this product out in the marketplace?
Sure, we're doing both. But when we started, we originally wanted to start with a retail store. And that didn't work out. We realized how hard it was to find the right space. And at that time, food trucks were becoming very popular.
That's
so
true.
It allowed us to start a business without as much capital I don't want to say it's completely riskless, but it gave us an opportunity to not have to be open 7 days a week, to kind of take our lumps and then go back and regroup and say, okay, now we can go to another event, or we can go to another food truck gathering and learn from last week or the week before, not the last hour. So, it didn't take us as much money to start with that and really right place, right time with food trucks. And then that kind of helped us test flavors and have fun and build the brand a little bit before we really took the leap into having the confidence to approach places, you know, like a La Grotta or some of these old school, you know, great restaurants in Atlanta that we work with.
And you referenced sort of quitting the job, which I'm sure a lot of people listening, you know, struggle with that. Like, okay, should I quit my job, or when, or if? So how did you know when it's time to leave, or what metrics did you set in place to help you make that decision?
Well, like I said, we quit our jobs way too early. I think we were so excited about doing something new, or at least I was, that as soon as we really had our plan in place and found, you know, what is now our tiny little kitchen that we've already outgrown, but we're still there. You know, as soon as we signed the lease, I was like, okay, I'm all in.
But would you argue that, is that part of why you were successful at it, as opposed to you were 100% focused? Or would you recommend, if you had to do it over again, would you have kept the job longer?
That's a good question. I mean, I think a lot of our success is, you know, we had a sink or swim mentality from the beginning. You know, there was no safety net for either of us outside of our families, you know, of course, which has been very helpful. We're both from Atlanta, but, you know, having to really go out there and do it every day for me, I thought was very helpful. I can't say, you know, that I would not have held on to my old job a little bit longer.
Hey, you're listening to The Shrimp Tank here on Atlanta Business Radio X. I'm your co-host, Ted Jenkins, sitting here with my co-host, Chris Hanks. We bring you the show every Tuesday from 4 p.m. to 5 p.m. right here live on Atlanta Business Radio X. We're sitting here today with co-CEO Wes Jones of Honeysuckle Gelato, learning more about the gelato business. And I'm really curious that when you get into the gelato business, we're seeing this explosion of craft beer in the Southeast. And you know, unfortunately, my favorite one, Ballast Point, is not in the Southeast. In fact, I saw the other day at Trader Joe's, they had a pineapple sculpin. So they've got all kinds of stuff right now. And it made me think about interviewing you today and hearing more about your business, that A, how do you come up with new flavors for the business? And then B, you know, I know it's not Baskin Robbins. So, you know, how do you know how many flavors are too many flavors when you have too much product that's out there when you get into this kind of business?
Sure. I mean, I think that's a question we're still trying to figure out. And to start, you know, that was the beauty of the food truck. We could test out stuff all we wanted. You know, we could test out a flavor just one day or carry it with us for a few months. But that was what we used to really figure out what, you know, what do we want to roll out with? What are our best store flavors? And it was really serving it to people, asking them what they thought, and then taking that back to the kitchen or the lab or whatever you want to call it, and tweaking it and really, you know, kind of perfecting what we do and what we offer. But we've made too many flavors. We've made over 250.
You had a best one, worst one so far?
Well, I've had a, I can give you the most interesting one, which we just made for a chef here in Atlanta who's doing a dinner in New Orleans. So we're going to be shipping a chicken liver pate gelato to New Orleans in a couple weeks.
Hey now.
So, and it is...
That's an acquired taste.
It is actually... It's actually really good.
It's really good.
Right. But that's the weirdest. You know, and we, when he asked us to make it, one, I thought it was neat that he had the confidence to think that we could pull that off. But two, I was excited. I told him, I said, I can finally with confidence answer the question, what's the weirdest thing you've ever done with your business? Wow. So, so I thank him for that.
And what's the most popular?
Sea salted caramels are most popular.
Sea salt. There's something about them. And caramel that just makes people eat like a pig. I don't know what it is. It doesn't matter what you have. You put chocolate, sea salt, and caramel, you chow them down. You know, I was in South Carolina on spring break, and Jelly Belly, who's made, you know, literally tons of flavors, needs to stop, by the way. Jelly Belly, you need to stop making flavors because they basically had like a waffles and maple syrup type jelly bean. Only as bad as the butter popcorn, Hanks. It was, you know, butter popcorn jelly bean.
That's not your thing?
It doesn't work.
They make a rotten egg jelly bean too.
Do they?
Yeah.
Wow.
It's about as good as you would think. So
hold now for Slim Jims. I think
that's the new flavor. They might. You never know. If you've done a rotten egg, what's, you know, at that point, why stop?
All right. Well, we're going to take a quick break from our commercial sponsors. And when we get back, we're going to ask a little bit with Wes about what's hot or not in being an entrepreneur and running a business. Let's take a quick break from our commercial sponsors.
Are you tired of band-aiding your technological needs? Are you concerned about the health of your network? Is your network security up to par with industry standards? Welcome to Securit from Savant. Securit is a comprehensive monitoring solution that allows the team at Savant to proactively monitor and support all of your technical needs in real time. Savant's comprehensive support and monitoring approach has been leading the way for over a decade. At Savant, we take the time up front to learn your network so that we can fix any current and potential future issues. We support a wide variety of platforms, from PCs to Macs, and are experts in supporting your mobile workforce. So why wait? Call now to schedule a free comprehensive network evaluation and take the worry out of your technology. Call 770-438-6240 and mention our ad for this special offer.
Hey, welcome back to the Shrimp Tank. I'm your co-host, Ted Jenkins, sitting here with the executive director and founder of the KSU Center for Entrepreneurship, Chris Hanks, who joins me every week. Some great things going on at KSU. If you haven't been up there to meet some of the kids that are in the entrepreneurship program, what's going on there now, you really need to check it out. We ultimately, on this show, are really trying to foster a new way of thinking. You know, we talk about it almost every week here in this show, but if you think about it, most kids go to high school today. What do they learn? They basically take some tests and some more tests and some more tests till they eventually go to college and take some more tests. And we hope over time that there are tracks where kids can learn entrepreneurship as early as high school, and they get into programs like they're teaching at KSU. So whether you want to run a business or rise up the corporate ladder faster, you can do that. We're sitting here with our guest, who is the co-founder of Honeysuckle Gelato, Wes Jones. We're talking a little bit about the gelato business, and I want to get into our hot or not segment in a second. I'm going to let Chris lead it off this week, but I wanted to ask you, in a business like this, in the food business, one of the reasons we see why a lot of businesses fail is about capital. And so how did you guys scrounge up the capital to start this kind of business? Or is it really that capital intensive of a business to start?
For us, it wasn't as capital intensive as we thought it was going to be. But again, like I mentioned earlier, we initially wanted to open a retail store and we didn't because of that. It was easier to open a food truck at the time. And a lot of that had to do with the popularity of it. But, you know, we had some family investment and put our own money in, and that was it.
Rusty, you want to start with the hot or not question here? Do you got a question you want to ask?
Yes, I do.
by the way, we teach voice in our entrepreneurship major as well. So yeah, there we go.
You have 10 minutes to get to the game.
And they have the coolest voice ever. Yeah.
The best.
Oh yeah, it's awesome.
You're very kind. So I was basically wanting to know the first one.
I was hitting on him a little bit. There's probably some inappropriateness there.
It's okay. It's online radio.
Yeah. Okay, good.
I was wanting to know, what would you say is your greatest achievement for your business so far, besides opening?
Sure. I think there are a couple things. Last summer, we started working with Delta Airlines, and that was a big, big win for us. And it's on a small scale for Delta, but for us, it's huge. And they've been
now on Delta?
Mm-hmm. About 20 different destinations out of Atlanta. So it's
all like first class?
All first class, yeah.
Nice.
So I've never had it and probably never will. But, you know. but they've been a wonderful partner. So that'd be one, but also, opening our retail store at Ponce City Market and just the lineup that is there and being a part of that still kind of baffles me. You know, I'll walk down the hallway and just look at all these great chefs and restaurants and say, oh my God, you know, we're a part of this. So that's, you know, it would be those two things. And the cool thing is they hit, you know, we launched with Delta July 7th and opened our store September 20th. So, that was a fun, very busy, but really fun fall and winter.
I can imagine. All right. Well, my next question is, what was your...
Hey, fire away, Rusty. It's no problem.
Yeah,
sorry,
bring it on.
Just saying.
with that voice, he can do anything.
I know.
What was your greatest failure and what did you learn from it?
That's a good question. And I think, and it's hard to classify this as a failure, but we operated our food truck, I think, a little too long. You know, we saw the writing on the wall that this wasn't the most profitable way for us to grow our business, but we enjoyed the camaraderie of being part of that world. We thought it was interesting. We, you know, kind of leaned on it as a crutch a little too long. So I think it put us where we are today in the sense that it gave us this cool vibe, this credibility to help us get into places like Ponce City Market. But at the same time, you know, we were spending every waking hour working on it, and we couldn't grow the business properly without having to really let it go. So it was a blessing in one sense, but we rode it way too long.
All right. Well, then I'll ask you the softball hot or not question, because it seems like we can predict your answer, but hot or not, working with really good friends.
Mostly hot. It can, you know, we've had our moments. Right now, it's great. We're riding high. And I think the advantage to that is we really trusted each other beforehand. But I've seen it not work out. So that's why I would say mostly hot. We've been very lucky. I've had other friends that have started businesses with other friends, and it's not always pretty.
So any recommendations or anything you did differently that made yours more successful than somebody else?
I don't know. I mean, I think if we went back, I think, you know, being a little bit more honest about what our successes were going to look like and how that would impact us would have been very helpful. You know, we're all level-headed people, and we've been able to, you know, work through the bad times and the good times without having to deal with too much, especially on the trust side. You know, we really trust each other, and that's great. I mean, I think that's the most important thing is understanding who you're working with, understanding their weaknesses, addressing those weaknesses before you really get into business. So it's not something that you say, hey, why aren't you better at this? You know, if they understand that it's something going into the business that they need to work on and you've addressed the things that you need to work on, you can have an open discussion about that. I think that is huge for people getting into business with people they know.
How about a hot or not work-life balance?
right now, pretty hot. Yeah.
That's good. So yeah. You can still run the kind of business you're running, because sometimes we've heard the food business is basically, you know, 24/7. You have to be watching the cash registers all the time.
Yeah, we're getting out of that. I mean, I say that, but I ended up having, I worked the shop last night until 10 o'clock. You know, I didn't get home till 11. And that doesn't happen all the time, but, you know, that's part of being an entrepreneur is you're always on call. You know, so there are always going to be those moments that you just can't avoid. But so much better than when we started the business. So.
Hmm. All right. Hot or not, bonuses to employees.
Hot. If we can do that, we will. I mean, I think our employees work very hard. They understand we're a small business and that they could, some of them could probably get paid more elsewhere outside of the endless amounts of gelato that they get. So if we have a good year, we want to pass it along to the people that made that good year.
Well, I'm curious if you wouldn't mind talking about that because we've had a lot of businesses on the Shrimp Tank, but being in the kind of business that you are now that you do have a retail facing store, how do you keep a $9 an hour employee motivated? You know, or I'm not saying they all make $9, but you know, the lower waged employees, how do you keep them excited about the growth of being part of an organization like yours?
That's a good question. That's something that we're always trying to figure out. I mean, I think at the retail store, you know, most of our employees, they make a ton in tips, which is surprising for the type of business.
Well, especially at Pont City. That's probably good there.
Right. Oh, the tips are great. You know, so they're walking away with a lot of money. And I think that's very helpful. I think being in a place like Pont City Market has its advantages. You know, you kind of have, even though I'm not at all cool, there is a cool factor of just being able to work there. And then at the shop, you know, I think it's just showing people what it's all about. I mean, you know, showing that we're not above cleaning the bathrooms and stuff like that and doing the dirty work when it's called for. And again, having gelato you can take home all the time certainly doesn't hurt.
Doesn't hurt at the end of the day.
No, not at all.
You're listening to the Shrimp Tank here on Atlanta Business Radio X. We're going to take a quick break from our sponsors. And when we come back, Wes Jones is going to get a chance to plead the fifth. What we want to find out, and you'll find out too, is there any funny business that goes on when making new flavors at Honeysuckle Gelato? Let's take a break from our sponsors. We'll come right back. We'll get the answer to our question.
Are you praying that your accountant gets you a tax refund this year? If you said yes, then your tax plan has already failed. Go to oxygenfinancial.net to get our free no obligation guide on 6 ways to save money on taxes right now. Make a smart money move today. Go to oxygenfinancial.net. To get your free guide today, securities offered through Kestra Investment Services, members FINRA, SIPC, advisory services offered through Kestra Advisory Services, an affiliate of Kestra Investment Services. Oxygen is not affiliated with Kestra.
Hey, welcome back to the Shrimp Tank and our live read disclosure. We need to do that every single week or just isn't a show on the Shrimp Tank brought to you live here every Tuesday from 4 p.m. to 5 p.m. You can always catch a replay if you came in late on this show and you want to hear more about our interview with Wes Jones. Go to shrimptankpodcast.com. We actually have videos there. We do a post-show wrap-up. We'll do it with Wes today as well. And you can see and hear some of the best tips from entrepreneurs. These are things that if you think about running a business, you need to learn. And so how do you learn? You learn from other entrepreneurs. How do most entrepreneurs learn? They get bloody. You make mistakes. You get beat up. And then, you know, that little person on your shoulder says, don't do that again. Until you do it again, you just don't do it quite as bad as you did it the first time until you get better at it and then sort of repeat, rinse, and do it again. I'm sitting here with Chris Hanks, who's my co-host. He's also the executive director and founder of the KSU Center for Entrepreneurship. And we're going to talk about our last segment today with Wes, who is the co-founder of Honeysuckle Gelato. I've learned a ton already about the gelato business. It's very, very interesting stuff because I see all these craft ice cream places and craft beer and all this stuff. You know, you wonder, you know, how these businesses work. So my first question is, you know, I guess in my plea, the fifth, is it a good idea to marry somebody in the gelato business?
I hope my wife says yes. yeah, why not? You get free dessert, well, you know, all the time.
But so a good idea to marry an entrepreneur?
I think so. As long as you know what you're getting into. You know, I mean, I think, you know, it takes a certain type of person to want to be an entrepreneur. And I think it also takes a certain type of person to want to be with an entrepreneur and understand that this is going to take patience and time. And I think there are, you know, great partnerships that come from that outside of the business, of course, you know, great partnerships.
No question about it.
So just to jump on that as well, what do you think is the biggest price that you have, that your relationship has paid for being an entrepreneur?
That's a good question. You know, the most obvious one is just time. you know, not being there for dinner every night and not being able to just, you know, share a lot of stuff and not being able to go on all of the vacations that we would like to go on. So time, there's a lot of sacrifice in starting a business, and, you know, your spouse shares that.
Well, my question to that is, what recommendation would you make to solve those problems? What have you done to remedy that situation?
Oh, gosh. You know, I think a lot of it is just, you know, understanding how you want to grow your business, and being open and honest about that with your spouse, and working your hardest, knowing that there is another stakeholder outside of yourself that's going to be impacted by how hard you work and how much you can put the right things and people in place to make your business run well, without you always having to be there. And that's rewarding when you can get to that point.
So craft beer ice cream sucks, or you should have it on the dessert table?
Oh, we've done it.
Have you done it?
Oh, yeah. We make all sorts of stuff. We go beyond craft beer.
Do you mix beer and gelato too?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
No kidding.
And we do every year for the Kentucky Derby, we do a mint julep gelato.
Hey, now.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Our biggest mistake.
Me some of that
yeah.
julep gelato.
Yeah,
huh?
We did it with Maker's Mark a couple years ago.
And, even better.
And, yeah, it's good. So every time we have some friends that host a derby party. My cousin actually hosts a derby party every year. So if I don't bring that, I'm not invited.
So does that mean you have to card people before you can sell them gelato?
Nice.
Well, potentially with this one. We go pretty hard on this one, but we don't sell the heavy version to restaurants or stores.
You have to eat like 3 teaspoons or 3 tablespoons before you get a buzz or something like that. Is that what you're thinking?
Yeah, probably. Yeah.
Is that big, by the way? Is the alcoholic type ice cream pretty big today in the retail business?
I think so. There's a great company here in Atlanta that does that called Frozen Pints.
Yeah,
and they have ice cream bar. And Ari does a great job with the product. It's a very different market from the one we play in, because you do have to be your
card.
We
used to serve Frozen Pints in our office because we knew Allie very well.
Yeah, Allie's great. She lives in my neighborhood, actually.
We when people would come in, we serve all sorts of fun drinks in our office, like Yoo-Hoo and Sunkist, but we actually had a big freezer, and people would take it and they say, what is this?
Yeah.
It's beer ice cream. Ah, no, it's like, try it. All right. Try the mocha one first. It'll be a little better, but.
Yeah, it's interesting. I mean, it's a completely different market. You know, it is weird to think that you're carded to buy that ice cream, you know, and they have to work through, from what I understand, you know, alcohol distributors, which is, that's just a whole different beast.
Hanks,
so.
I want to tell you on a totally unrelated note, and I want to ask a few more questions to Wes, that I started my morning this morning by walking into a Valero gas station. And let me just tell you, when you know it's a bad day for somebody who starts their day in a Valero gas station and stepped up to pay, and they had a 64-ounce Budweiser. That's all that was there. Not a can, a bottle of Budweiser, and then neatly wrapped it in a paper bag. And I thought, I'd like to follow this person for the rest of today to find out, because this doesn't seem like it's going the entrepreneurial route. I didn't know where it was going to end up this morning on here, but all right. I don't know why I felt like sharing that today, but I did on the Shrimp Tank. So, have you ever had 2 employees hook up at the gelato store?
I hope not. I haven't heard about it. Well, you know, I don't say I hope not. You know, maybe they'll get married. A lot of them are college kids. You never know what's going
to
happen.
I worked at American Express for 15 years. I wonder whether I hired more financial advisors or people who got married to each other, because that's what ends up happening. People work in the workplace a lot. A lot of people end up, you know, connecting up.
Yeah. You know,
just but not me. Currently at Honeysuckle.
Right. But not, I like that. Not while they're working. So.
I like that Wes didn't take the plea to fifth on that.
No, he did not.
Well, because I honestly don't know the answer. So I'm holding on tight to plead the fifth.
Maybe they cooled down those relationships. See, you like that?
There you go. Well done.
So, yes. So what is your least favorite part about what you do?
I think the... And this is an exciting part, but the unpredictability is still not my favorite part. Especially, we love the restaurant partners we have, but you know, if you just think about looking at a menu at a restaurant, the last thing you see is dessert. So the last thing lots of restaurants think about is ordering dessert and getting that in enough time. So that's been you know, kind of one of the harder things to navigate is making sure we're treating our customers right, but making sure that we're clear that, you know, you can't call us, you know, Saturday at noon and expect that we can get something there in an hour.
Big time seasonality in your business?
Yeah, not as much as I thought getting into it, actually.
Right.
And I think part of that helps that, you know, we have a number of different types of customers. You know, certainly our outdoor seated restaurants are huge in the summertime and dip a lot in the wintertime, but store sales don't dip as much as we thought they would. People want ice cream all year.
For the young entrepreneurs that are listening, you know, again, I think this is something that people see on TV and, you know, they wonder how much is fabricated and what's real. What does it take for you to get a real distribution of your product? You know, I've got somebody I know who owns a Bloody Mary company, and I've learned a lot about what it takes to get shelf space at Publix, which is interesting if it's even halfway true what I learned. But what will it take to get distribution from a real local level to a national level in a big food chain?
Patience. I mean, for us, it's, you know, it started with us going store to store, restaurant to restaurant, and just getting on any shelf that we could get on. You know, I'd like to think that we were very selective with who we targeted and who we work with, but, you know, you got to get on a few shelves before you can go to a place like Whole Foods and say, hey, we've got something for you. You know, because no matter how great it is, if you can't prove concept, you know, that they're not going to immediately listen.
And is the reason is because they have to figure out how fast they can turn the product off the shelf?
Yeah, I think most of the larger chains have a good idea based on your price point and the type of product, how well they can move it. And I think places like Whole Foods do a great job with their local profiles and local supplier programs where they can identify, you know, maybe a need that they haven't filled. And I think we came in at the right time with, you know, gelato in the South to help us get into the local Whole Foods stores here. But it does, you know, you need to be able to prove to them that, hey, this product is moving in this type of store, in this type of store. This is our target demographic. These are the people that are buying it. This is how much turnover there is. This is how much money you can make on it. You know, this is the margin that we suggest, or this is the wholesale price, and at our target retail price, this is what you're going to make, and it falls in line with what you're doing. So it's, you know, you got to take a few lumps for sure and figure out the game. I've made some horrible pitches where I had no idea what I was talking about and probably still do, but those are good because as long as you can work with someone that can give you honest feedback, you'll be more prepared the next time.
What was your favorite part of your business? I mean, what actually made you want to really jump into this? I'm curious.
It's delicious.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I think just tasting it over and over and over and over again, when I would visit Jackson and when he would come home, he would make stuff on a little tabletop machine in his parents' kitchen. And just the more I ate and the more he talked about it, the more and more we just were like, we have to sell this product here. It has to be here. It was too good to pass up.
The sweet tooth.
Sweet tooth. Yeah, absolutely.
Well, Wes, for people that are listening to the show today, tell them how they can get in touch with you, your company. How can they learn more about trying some honeysuckle gelato, or can they buy it on the internet? How can people who listen to Business Radio X today learn more about your company?
Sure. Just visit our website, honeysucklegelato.com, and that's HoneySuckleGelato.com. We've got a map on the site that shows all the states we're in and the stores we're in each state. We also have a map showing you how to get to Ponce City Market, and our contact information is on there too. So please drop me a line. I'd love to hear from some more, hopefully, potential customers.
Well, thanks for coming on the program today. And for folks that are listening next week, we'll have on Jamie Bodner, who's the owner of Pinnacle Fitness. Do you think that you could open up a gym and learn how to personally train people? So you're going to hear from one of the most successful people in the city of Atlanta, who has an elite private training gym in Buckhead. Fantastic stuff. Thanks for listening to The Shrimp Tank. You can always listen to a replay of the entire show today, done with Wes Jones, on shrimptankpodcast.com. Stay tuned with us if you want to, and you'll hear more on our post-show wrap-up. We'll ask Wes some additional questions. You can hear it all, again, on the website on shrimptankpodcast.com. Thanks for joining us, and we'll talk to you next week. I've been feeling like a shark in a shrimp tank. Big fish, small pond in the shrimp tank. When it takes a swim, only option is to win. In the murky water, not a thought of giving in. I've been feeling like a shark in a shrimp tank. Big fish, small pond in the shrimp tank. When it takes a swim, only option is to win. In the murky water, not a thought of giving in.